What I'd like to do is to separate the Divrei Torah into two parts, because the people would like to leave early, and anyway don't have patience for long Divrei Torah. So just the basic yesodos of the inyanim of Parsha Zohar and the connection to this week's Parsha, particularly. I mentioned that first. And then there's more complex inyanim that need to be discussed in order to fully penetrate. And I'll point out to you the problems with the simple approach. And then at least you can leave with that, those who need to go early. So first of all, I just want to point out one really amazing thing. This is really one of the most striking words of any Rishon anywhere, are the words of the Ibn Ezra, who speaks about when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and he was there, Arba'im Yom, Arba'im Laila, Lechem Lo Achalti, the whole story. So the Ibn Ezra says, people without any brains, it's a very, very unusual language, Reike Me'ach, people don't have any brains, will always ask, what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing up there? What did he need to be up there for 40 days and 40 nights? I'm like, how much could he possibly have to learn? So he says, there's two things you need to understand. First of all, after 40 years in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching him continuously in the Mishkan, and his constant teaching of Kalal Yisrael, when it came time for him to die, what does he say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ata ha-cheloisa la-harosis avdecha. You began to show me a little bit. So first of all, let's understand everything that Moshe Rabbeinu knew, he viewed as a good beginning. It's a small beginning. He says, but the most important thing to know, and this I think is what's nogea very much, particularly this mitzvah, the most important thing to know, astonishing statement, is that in order for a person to have any connection to the Torah, he has to know himself. If he doesn't know himself, he doesn't know his psychology, he doesn't know his body, he doesn't know his weak points, he doesn't know his personality, then he knows nothing about the Torah. It's an amazing, amazing statement. So the Ibn Ezra takes for granted that the inyanim of the Torah are only real to us insofar as we are real to us, insofar as we're able to connect to the elements of a mitzvah, and we see what it has to do with ourselves. And the way we experience life, to that extent, a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and it means something to us. And if not, then as Moshe Rabbeinu himself said earlier in Dvarim, ki lo davar reku michem, lo davar reku michem chazal dorash, if you find something meaningless in Torah, michem, it's because of you. It's not because there's something that's missing, it's that it's this point. You don't have a way to connect to it. So I would like to point out that this mitzvah particularly of Mechias Amalek, the idea of Parsha Zohar, the Zechira Bechlal of Amalek, is a very strange mitzvah that people feel very divorced from in practical terms. What exactly does it mean? What exactly is the purpose of memory? And it's even more problematic when you take a look at the way the Rambam brings the mitzvah. So he brings two mitzvahs in a row. The first mitzvah is mitzvah taseh lahacharim shiva amamim. So then we came into Eretz Yisrael. There was a mitzvah to destroy the amim that were living in Eretz Yisrael, unless, of course, they would be mitgayer and they would be mekabel on themselves to be with Klal Yisrael as opposed to against them. Shneemar hacharim tacharimim. And if you have an opportunity to be mekayim this mitzvah and you don't get rid of them, you're going to be oivan alotaseh. Shneemar lotechayeh kol deshama. It's literally an iser d'oraita. However, says the Rambam, Ukvar avadu, these people are all gone. This mitzvah no longer has any application. The avad zichram. Why he has to throw that in? Their memory has been lost. Nothing to do with their memory anymore, right? The next mitzvah is, V'chein mitzvata seila abed zera amalek, shenemar timche et zecher amalek. So somehow or other, the relationship to the Abed Zera Amalek, he understands, is the issue of Zecher Amalek, which of course was the question of how to read it. You read it Zecher Amalek in terms of the males, you read it Zecher Amalek. Of course, the whole idea in the Gemara, why we read it two times, to make sure that we get both approaches. Mitzvat aseh lizkor tamid, you're supposed to always remember, ma'asav haraim, his evil deeds, ve'ariva tobaderach, and the way that he lay in wait for us, ambushed us on the road. Kedei lo orer evato. I don't know where he gets that from. I mean, he's putting in a reason. that you're supposed to always remember in order to be ma'orer this hatred, or to be ma'orer the enmity that you have with Amalek. Shene'emar, Zochor et asher asah lecha Amalek, b'pi hashmo lamdu zechor means bapeh, to say it, and lo tishkach means belave, shasur lishkach eivato v'sinato. Two different issues. You have to always remember, you must never forget the level of enmity and the level of hatred. Two separate issues. It's not clear what those two separate issues are, but one thing is very clear from the mitzvah, that the mitzvah is certainly not to hear Parsha Zohar. The mitzvah is the osur lishkoach eivato v'sinato, and that the point in this is to be ma'orer the eiva. You're supposed to feel this particular enmity. Now, we have no relationship to this at all, I think, in practical terms in our lives. Obviously, if you're supposed to remember something tabid, then that means it becomes part of your base of awareness. This is what my life is. It consists of an underlying awareness, which doesn't have to be in active memory, but it does have to be not as an archived memory. Remember that the word zechirah in Hebrew does not mean to have something accessible to memory, which is archival. It means to, the original use of the word in English, of the concept of memory, was mindfulness, was to have something in mind. We still use that, so it's a memorable, something that I can constantly think about and so on, right? We have those archaic uses still. In Lashon HaKodesh, Zecher is an actual positive awareness, not simply an ability to remember something when you want to. It's a completely different thing. We don't have any sense of how we're supposed to incorporate a basal awareness of what the Eiva to Amalek would be. And it's quite clear from the Pasuk that the idea of the Melchemes Amalek, in which again we tend to just dismiss this as Amaletics, but it's a beferish Pasuk. Ein Hashem Shalem ve'ein HaKisei Shalem Yod Al Keska. So there are only the two Osias of the Shem are there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shem Kilu V'Schaser. Milchama L'Hashem Ba'Amalek Midor Dor. And Midor Dor means that this is an ongoing process, and therefore the mitzvah of Zechira, which on the surface is a contradiction in terms. The reason that the seven Amamim that were here when we came into Eretz Yisrael, Avad Zichram, is because we never talk about them. Amalek would have been long forgotten if we wouldn't talk about them every year. So obviously the Avad Zichram were not exactly contributing to the loss of their memory by remembering them. So if you're supposed to be Timche et Zechra Amalek, why do we talk about them all the time? And why do we have to mention them every year to make sure, don't forget Amalek? Well, I thought we were supposed to wipe out their memory. No, don't forget. I mean, how do you wipe out a memory and not forget at the same time? So obviously, something is very odd about the mitzvah. And the main point of the mitzvah, it escapes us if we think we get away with just listening to Parshas Zohar. Now we were in the mitzvah of Zechira, because the Rambam doesn't even mention that. He basically mentions the idea of the basal awareness. The idea of reading Parshas Zohar comes out of that halacha, that since you can lose track of things in 12 months, which we find that a mace is nishkach after 12 months, so we make a brocha. If you haven't seen someone for 12 months, it's as if he was dead. So you make a brocha b'chaya mesim. So in order to keep that memory alive, so we come out with the idea of reading it. But the Rambam doesn't agree with our Shitas holds, particularly in terms of a kriya from the Torah and so on and so forth. It's a way that we rekoveya to read. So this means, if it's really milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek, I mean, couldn't he just get rid of them? I mean, what does milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like Amalek, so go wipe them out. What does it take? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the word and goodbye Amalek, right? So obviously the idea of milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek is in the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately relates to us. Insofar as we are involved in the milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek and recognize that it's an ongoing, not a one-time historical event, but an ongoing issue of Bidor Dor. So to that extent, we're able to be part of a milchama l'Dor Dor. To whatever extent, it's just going through the motions, listening to it and so on. It has nothing to do with the milchama l'Hashem b'Dor Dor, which makes it even more imperative to really understand what exactly our role is during these times. We certainly can't go out and take machine guns and try to find out whoever's Amalek. I mean, that's, excuse me, That's not the mitzvah bichlal. So there are amazing things in this week's parsha that relate directly to Parsha Zohar, and everybody can instantly see that, in a sense, the whole Sefer Vayikra is connected to Parsha Zohar. And that's because, as you know, the opening word of the Sefer is Merames to Parsha Zohar. But it's not only the opening word, it's the essence of the entire book. So as Rashi puts it, what's the idea of Vayikra? Vayikra is the Kol HaDibrot, this is the opening Rashi, L'chol HaDibrot, L'chol HaMirot, L'chol HaTzivuyim Kadma Kriya. Kadosh Baruch Hu first called. What is a Kriya? Lashon Chiba. It's a relationship. It's a sense of love and desire. Lashon Shemalachei HaSharek Mishtamshim. Because it says, V'kara Zel Zeh V'yamar, we even introduced us with B'ahava Zeh L'zeh. Because we understand that the Lashon of Chiba, even though it can't mean the literal sense of Ahava, as you would have between humans, because you don't have that type of relationship between Malachim. But the idea of Kriya B'ahava is this idea of Chiba. Aval neviyeh umot olam nigla alayem b'lashon arai. When it comes to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to the Goyim, who were Nevi'im, such as Bilam HaRasha, so there it says, Vayikar Elohim el Bilam. Now Chazal say this is the reason for the opening letter Vayikra with a little olive, right? So there's the olive Zeira that appears in the Sefer Torah, which turns Vayikra into a contrast between Vayikar and Vayikra. The purpose of that, simple meaning, says Rashi, that it's coming to teach us the modality by which we relate to Torah as a whole. In other words, if we hear Torah the way Moshe Rabbeinu heard it, which was that it's a calling. So it's not something that you happen upon, you read upon, you find a little vort here and a little vort there, and you look up Mayana Shaltera, you know, something to say on your table and so on. But the idea is that there is a calling that is constantly connects your neshama, this, the desire to be connected to Torah. So to that extent, you're able to actually have a connection to Torah. To whatever extent it's just an intellectual pursuit, or it's a casual pursuit, or you're an armchair, you know, checking around and little things, the little the pamphlets that they give out every week. That's not the getter of Kriya. That's the getter of Keri. It's B'mikre. So you happen to see something. Now, this is something that the entire book is about. It is not just the opening word. Because if you recall, the entire close of Sefer Vayikra is the Brit of Bechukotai. The Brit of Bechukotai speaks of nothing else but Keri. 7 times in Telechi Mikeri, Telechi Bidkeri, Gamani Telechi Machem, Bechamat Keri. That means that we're opening up the beginning of the Sefer with an introduction of an idea, which becomes a restatement of the entire nature of the Bris of Torah on Har Sinai. Because Bechukotai is the restatement of the Bris Sinai after the Maisa Egel. So that means what we're introducing here is not simply a little word to give us an explanation of why it is the Moshe Rabbeinu needed to be called into the Mishkan. It's fundamental to our connection to Torah, and it becomes the new way in which the Sefer as a whole introduces the Brit to Torah. That's astonishing. But what's obvious is that that difference between the Vayikar and the Vayikra is part of Parsha Zohar. Because the thing that we need to remember is Asher Karcha. Asher Karcha Baderech. Rashi says over there the same Lashon that he uses with Bilam. Lashon Tuma. Lashon Keri. Lashon Arai. Exactly the same words. So the words of how it is that Amalek interacts with us, what the meaning of that interaction is that it's a Kuri root, as Rashi says, first of all. It cools you down. It's literally the modern word, cool. It's cool. Cool means I'm not heavily invested in it. I don't really care very much about it, right? But it's cool, yeah. It's like, when I see that, nothing makes any difference. That's exactly what the idea of cool means. So it's the idea of Asher Karcha that cools you off. Because of that, it's metameyu. And that's the reason that we use the word carry for wasted reproductive fluids. Because it doesn't do anything, it doesn't go anywhere. So it's pure waste. Waste is tuma, waste is uselessness. It's a non-investment in the nature of reality. Keri. So if the entire book is the getter of Keri, that the idea of Bilam, remember that Rashi is using over here as the paradigm of what it is that the contrast is to Moshe Rabbeinu, is a very profound contrast. Because remember, the end of the entire Torah is V'lo kam b'Yisrael navi k'moshe od. Right, so we learn out from there, b'Yisrael lo kam, avu b'umot olam kam. There was an alternative navi. The alternative navi that was the darg of Moshe Rabbeinu on some level is b'umot. The only difference is that when it came to the relationship with Bilam, there was no chiba, as it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayikar. He appeared to Bilam only in the nighttime, as if, as Rashi says over there, as if a marshal to a melech that's got a pilegesh. He doesn't want everybody to know they're slipping in girls into the castle, so he sneaks out in the middle of the night. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it to be in open. He's talking to this no good thing. Why is he talking to him? But he's talking to this new kid. So to speak, he sneaks out at night to speak to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, Dafka the Shechina appears biyom, and not the Dan Belayla, and the Sman of Tyra, where Moshe Rabbeinu is fully aware, fully engaged, fully connected. Now this Bilam, remember what his immense power was? Ki, the idea of here is Bilam, the Gemara says, Yodea da'at elyon, says the Gemara, he didn't even know his own animals das. So if he can't relate to his own ass, how does he claim to be able to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's das? Says the Gemara, he knew one thing. He knew when HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry. And how long is that anger? Ki rega biapo. It's one instant. And he was the only person on earth that ever could figure out that exact instant and use that instant to curse. And then that curse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would kaviyochol be mekabel because of that curse. That means that he had the power of reducing life to a Kodak snapshot. And that was his brilliance, because you can always find a Kodak snapshot that you're embarrassed as heck about, right? I mean, it just need to snap you at the right moment that you're stuffing that pizza in your mouth. Or you're looking like a total idiot for some other reason. Everybody's got Kodak moments. They got the nice Kodak moments, they have the ones that they tear up. Okay. So the idea of Bilam is that he's capable of presenting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavayochol a snapshot of an instant that this is what you relate to. That idea of reducing things to snapshots is basically the wasted parts of our life. It's the essence of Mikra. It's the essence of wasted moments, Karen. That concept means that he does not integrate things. There's no interrelationship. He sees each thing as being fundamentally unrelated to anything else, except insofar as you feel like relating it. The modern word for that, which Chazal actually use in terms of Bilam, is deconstruction. That's essentially what he does. The idea is that any reading in of meaning that you provide to reality is entirely your take on things. If you want to see it from another point of view, the text is all. Whatever we do with the text, we can do with the text. There's no particular reason that your interpretation of the nature of your life, history, is meaningful. What is that take on your life and history? It's called memory. The word memory, remember, remember. Integrate, make things a member of something else. Another word is recall, kriya. Recall is memory, literally zechira. How it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to be able to combat Bilam and his rega, ami zechorna. That's what he tells us. Zechorna mayaatz Bilam. It's zechira per se that is the essence of the antithesis of everything that this idea of Amalek stands for. And that idea is cooling off any attempt to provide essential meaning, fundamental meaning, more than a personal meaning. This is the way I view my life. If you have problems with the way you view your life, you can simply go to a psychiatrist and they'll help you review your memories and change them. Why stress this memory? You can always stress that memory. You can always resolve an issue by determining that you want to look at it in a different way, get a different perspective, and so on. Very effective. The most powerful element of Amalek today is the new historians. History is just broader memory. It's the memory of events from long ago and how they relate to events today. And that would mean that the nature of Zechira is ipso facto the opposite of Amalek. It is an active destruction of Amalek. So to the extent that an individual insists upon a determination in his life that the chibah that he feels, the connection that he feels, the love of all of the events in his life, which in perspective begin to take on such a pattern of a presence of will, which is just the older you get, the more powerful is the sense that your life has been impelled. The same thing in terms of history. And this is Tolstoy's most beautiful, one of some of his most beautiful lines, is about the nature of war and how the entire thing was being run milamala. And he describes his general over there as the full understanding that it is not a question of what you're doing, it's a question of where you are at that time, which of course is exactly what Mordechai says to Esther. That's the flow of history. You want to be the right person at the right moment, then get in there and do your thing. But never think that anybody is basically responding to the mechanics of what you're doing. This is a love story. My separation is a love story. Your history is a love story. The giving of the Torah is chiba. And that's Chazal's Anochi. What is Anochi? Hashem Elokecha. Ana nafshoi, I, myself, my insides, my kavayocho, my being, ketiva yeyivat, have given you this letter, this Torah. So then the real mitzvah, the actual challenging mitzvah, is to maintain an awareness at all times of not slipping into the Bilam approach of experiencing life as being disassociated moments and taking off from life. Okay, right now, forget about it, I'm just having fun. Or, you know, it has nothing to do with anything meaningful. Or perhaps all of the meaning that I feel entertaining elements of nihilism. Okay, I will work hard at making myself happy with the emptiness and the ephemeral nature of my existence. And, you know, I'll connect it to good things and that'll make my life worthwhile. No, that itself is an Amalek take on things. And Amalek is very good at providing a sense of a multicultural acceptance of how people want to view meaning. That's wonderful. Everybody has a right to their gods, their all, whatever. Religion, or atheism 101 now accepts religion. There's good things to learn from religion. I mean, it's important to have some kind of system of values, blah, blah, blah. It just doesn't mean anything. It's things that we take on. And we agree, everybody can take on whatever they want. I got no quarrel with you. The only thing they have quarrel with is those who don't believe that. Same thing as today. The only things that liberals are upset about is people who refuse to be liberal. As long as you agree to go along, your beliefs are fine, his beliefs are fine, everything is fine, it's fine. The only thing that is absolutely unacceptable is not to believe that all things are exactly the same, which of course is the essence of Mikra. So then that means that the involvement in the Zechira itself, the constant involvement of, I am hereby challenged at this moment, as to whether I'm experiencing this moment, am I learning this learning, as something that just happened to come my way, or is it part of an overall history that has begun in love and ends in love? And what's fascinating, if you take a look at Purim, one of the most powerful things that Esther does, and this is what the Megillah shows, is that she turns Keri into Yakar. You might know Rav Simcha's song, Yakar. The things that appear to be simply coincidences in her life become the most dear of all things. And it's expressed in what she does. Because one of the most shocking things in the Megillah is that when this crazy guy, Ahasuerus, is incapable of relating to women because of the way Vashti had completely demanded him, his servants tell him, why don't you just become a rapist? Don't get married. No, just take a woman every night, take somebody else, and you never have to see her again. You never have to worry about her. She likes you. She doesn't like you. It was all a matter of pure use. Reduction of women to being nothing but kelim. And it says that in the Gemara. The kelim, the lashon of kelim, is what Ahasuerus says to everybody. Kli shani mishtamesh bo. It's the most beautiful. Kli shani mishtamesh bo. An object. He openly states, the object that I use is more beautiful than all of your girls. What an awful kind of language. That's exactly the point. The result of his relationship with Esther, which shocked everyone, Vayehav HaMelech, at Esther. Nobody ever believed that it would be a question of Ahava. It would be a question of tolerance. Can I manage to have a queen? Not whether I'll actually fall in love. This was an unbelievable achievement of what it was that Esther did. And it was such an amazing achievement that it threatened her entire success when she lost track of it for 1 minute. As the Gemara says, when she was going in at the end to ask Ahasuerus, at that last moment that she asked to come to the party, it says, and that's the Tehillah, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani. So the Gemara says, what is that? She was on her way into the Beis HaMelech at that time when nobody was allowed to come in, Vani lo nikreti lavo, Zeshloshim Yom, and so on. And all of a sudden she feels that Ruach HaKodesh has left her. She doesn't have Siyata Deshmaya. And she realizes, oh my gosh, because what I just said, the tefillah that I said, was Hatzila Mikelev Nafshi. Save my soul from this dog. Says the Gemara, that's why the Shekhinah left me, because I called him a dog. And immediately, Chazra, says the Gemara, and she refers to him as a lion, with chashivas. Can you imagine? This is a man who's taking complete advantage of her, he's destroyed her life, and she realizes that she lost her entire connection to the Shekhinah, because she has reduced the relationship to him to something I have to do, but I hate his guts and he's a dog. And that is the exact opposite of the response that this is your life, and this is your mission, and this is meant for you to relate to. And immediately, says the Gemara, Ruach HaKodesh came back to her. But Tobash Esther Malchut was able to put back on that Ruach HaKodesh. So that becomes a tremendous challenge, because truthfully, we often believe that life is a dog. And a lot of things, a lot of the people we deal with, a lot of the issues that we deal with, it's a dog, really. And that zechira, that the attitude that leads to that, is the willingness to entertain that maybe there is no fundamental meaning in what happens to us, and what we do, and what we've learned, and what we've achieved. That itself is the mitzvah of zechira, that is the undoing of what Amalek stands for. It's not that they should not be remembered that there was such a thing. It's that the entire approach should be looked at as being outraged, like a bunch of idiots. They have no more meaning in the world. And needless to say, the power of Amalek in the world that we live in is unbelievable. We're basically living in a world that is almost the full expression of this nihilistic approach. It's growing more and more all the time. So that anybody who insists that there is meant to be history, that history means something, that facts mean something, that truth means something. When in history did anyone refer to their world as the post-fact world? As the post-truth world, as Vamish, how they call it. Doesn't matter anymore. Facts don't matter. You try to bring facts to people, it looks like you're crazy. What facts? We interpret facts the way that we want. Look at the madness that goes around about Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you've got to be crazy. The UN is out of their minds. There's no possible justification, but the facts don't make any difference. It's just the Sina, and that's what the Rambam says you have to remember. It's the one thing that is hated, the assertion that there really are facts and that things make a difference, and that is the Chiva. Now, this is nowhere near enough for many reasons, but you can finish if you got to go. It's not enough, first of all, because there is no need to incorporate in the opening of Vayikra both the Keri and the Kriya. It's enough for us to have a contrast in the Torah, Vayikra al Moshe, and figure out ourselves that it says Vayikra al Bilam. The fact that we need to put those two things together, and the fact that the Torah needs to stress at the end that Lo kam Mavikim Moshe, only be Israel, but the Umot kam, the very fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be Mavakish, as the Gemara says, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shelo Tishra Shechina al Nevi'ei Umot HaOlam, that that should not happen any longer. And the very fact that even it's not just a matter of the Mishkan that suddenly at this moment we discover Kriya as opposed to Keri. It's when David HaMelech foresees the Yom of the Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. That's when he says Ki Rega Biapo. The Rega is the Rega that the Gemara brings Uriah from that Pusik about Bilam's Rega. And there's even more than that. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came off of Har Sinai after the Maisa Egel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cannot be with you guys. I cannot walk with you guys. No more Mishkan. No, nothing like that. I'll send a Malach and let him take you in. I don't have anything to do with you. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, we can't leave if you're not coming. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Rega echad ale b'kirbecha v'chiliticha, you don't want me. If I come along with you, the first time things go wrong, you're finished. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's amazing response to that, says the Gemara? Two things. I need to understand the way that you are. And what other thing? V'niflinu ani v'amcha mikol mishpachot. What does that mean? Shelo tishre shchina alamot olam. Because if you're telling me your problem is rega, and I'm telling you, get rid of that approach in the world. Get rid of it all. And then you'll be able to be with us in the Mishkan. Then that means there's something fundamental about the structure of the Mishkan. Something fundamental about the connection of the Torah that's learned in the Mishkan. And there needs to be an integration of two completely different approaches to life. Why in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Bilam? Why does it require Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah to stop talking to Bilam? Why is the very opening of the Torah understood in two directions? Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. Because it says Reishis Tvuas. And what does it say about Amalek? Reishis Goyim Amalek. So we're seriously talking about two completely different approaches to reality, both of which are in a constant state of war, Midor Dar. This is not something that could be resolved in a particular battle or in some other battle. When the Torah points out that this is a Midor Dar, it's telling you that the historical process per se is something that is a continued growth in your understanding of what it is that you are fighting. And there is no way to tackle it prematurely. If you tackle it prematurely, then you yourself will never mature. That's an unbelievable statement. Looking at it historically, that's exactly the case. Yoshua was allowed to destroy Amalek that was attacking Israel in the Midbar. Shaul was told to destroy Amalek, but not to destroy Amalek completely. Only mi-chavilah at-shur. And that chavilah at-shur obviously did not cover very much because David HaMelech, immediately after that, is fighting Amalek. It was the whole story in Siklag. I thought Shaul just destroyed Amalek. Shmuel just ended up killing Gagag and nothing is left. Not true, nothing is left. There was a specific element of Amalek that was destroyed. So the Milchama Lashem Midor Dor is an ongoing development which is fundamentally part of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash La'alocha. And that's the way the Rambam brings it, that's the way the Gemara brings it. Sholesh mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael b'chnisasam la'aretz. Being Mami the Melech, destroying Amalek, and building a Beis HaMikdash. And that means that the destruction of Amalek is not just related here on a one-time basis of Vayirka and Vayikar, or Rega b'achol chayim b'ritzono. It is part of the whole meaning of what it is to be building a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Halo Belechta Chaimanu is coupled with Al Tishre Shechina B'Mei Sarela. That's quite astounding. Really quite astounding. Because it means that unless we can account for a difference in the historical process, that means that we have to be able to achieve an ongoing development in the way that we think. We will not be able to ever destroy Amalek or personally develop to the point where this Milchama Lashem Midor Dor, which obviously, if this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concern, and this is the thing which makes Shmo Sholem, Ein Akise Sholem, Ve'ein Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholem, Kevayochol, and what that means is that there is no deeper description of the process of creation than this. Because the Kise Sholem is the coming of Mashiach, the building of Yerushalayim, the closing of Umol Hashem Lokechas Levavcha. I mean, how can we possibly ignore that? It's clearly part of that statement. You want to know what the world is about? Then you better learn to understand what Amalek is about. If you want to understand what you're about, and that's Ebenezer terms, then you need to understand the way in which that you relates to Amalek. And if you take the developments across history, and you view them just as, you know, an interesting issue of viewing human development, you are missing the point of the war. There is a war, and each stage of meeting Amalek is part of the development of humanity. That's the issue. From Reishis until Ein HaKiseh Sholem, and the Kiseh becomes Sholem. To show you the essential nature of that war, I want you to recognize, if you're able to stay, and this is the, we'll keep it still on time. Okay? You know, anybody feels they have to leave, you got the beginnings, it's good. So the idea over here is like this. If you take a look at Vayikra, and you wonder what in the world this has to do with the Karbanos, you can ask yourself what in the world the whole Purim story has to do with the Karbanos. Because this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says like this. Hakarov elav, Karshana, Shisad, Masat, Tarshish, and so on, says Rabbi Levi, every one of the names in this pasuk is based on the Karbanos. Karshana, Amru Malachi Asher, Sivanashal, Ikriva Fanecha, Karim Bene Shana, Gider Shekriva Yisrael, Sheisar, Shtei Torim, Admosa, Bizbeach Adoma, Tarshish, Bigde Kuhuna, Tichtibu Tarshish, Vishom Vyashpe, Marsina, Klumirsu Bedam Lefanecha, Klumirsu Bimimimimimimimimimimimimim, Mimucham, Klumirkinu Shulchan Lefanecha, every single word. What in the world is that? It's cute. Is there supposed to be some fundamental meaning to the whole story of the way Achashverosh takes out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, that he wants to wear the Bigdei Kohuna, that Ad Chatzi HaMalchut has to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash? Obviously, the entire thing is related. Only Ad Chatzi HaMalchut, I'll give you Esther, but not the thing that will destroy the Malchus. The original letters that prevented the Beis HaMikdash being built were sent by Haman's son. Those were the letters that originally affected the Ezra Nehemiah Binyan. Took all of this time for Esther to undo that damage. The Esther damage that was being undone was the damage that was done by her great-great-great-grandfather 500 years earlier in allowing Agag to live that one night, which produced Haman HaAgagi. That means that this whole story is deeply part of the ongoing process of the destruction of Amalek, which comes at key moments in Yisrael's history. Those key moments are either Kabbalah Sotera and the building of the Mishkan, Kabbalah Satera and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash at the time of Esther, or the nature of the building of the Mishkan at the time of David HaMelech and Shlomo. Each one was coupled with the Mechias HaMelech with another crisis. Fascinating. A crisis that had to do with HaMelech. What happens with the meeting of Sho'ol HaMelech with HaMelech, where he does not, which we read today, which he does not perform. And by the way, the Kriyas Satera of the Haftarah that we would have had today, if we didn't have that, would have been Mi kamoni kore. Who as I, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the one who's kore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kore hadorot merosh. Whoa. That means that the entire nature of my separation is this kriya. As the Zohar says, kriya means definition. Every time that it's used, ask the Zohar himself, I didn't say, and what about tefillah? Is it vayikra Elohim? No, says the Zohar. Tefillah means definition. You need to fully understand what is needed before you can present it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It always means definition. So it's a new level of understanding, constantly. The first thing that Shmuel says to him, when he says, well, I wanted it for Karbonas. Karbonas? What kind of answer is that? I was only bringing him for Karbonas. But that's what this is about, this is Karbonas, right? Think about the original Kriya in the Torah. Who did the original Kriya? Adam. Vayikra Adam Shemot L'chol HaBehima. So the one who created the behemoths that are here is only Adam. Because there were no behemoths before Adam called the name to the behemoths. There were only Chayot and Oaf. Afterwards it says Vayikra Adam Shemot L'chol HaBehima V'Oaf L'Chayot HaSadeh. In the opposite order. Because the Kriya was the definition of the symbiosis that across time develops between humanity and animals. Those are the only animals that we have a right to be makriv, which is why it says, Adam ki yakriv mikem, a kriya. There was one individual who never bought into that kriya. That kriya is what brought Adam Rishon to realize that he needed Chava. V'la Adam lo matza ezer kenegda, correct? Directly from that kriya, that was the purpose of the kriya. It's like a shvorku one, lo tov yot Adam levato, and then he asks him to be korei shemo. So that means it leads directly into the recognition of love and connection. There was one guy who on purpose refused to acknowledge that kriya, and that was Bilam. That's why it says Bilam ben Baar, Misha Baal Biro. So he had relationships with animals. He never ended up with saying, Vla Adam lo matza eza kenegdo. Bilam ben Baar was a kosim. Bilam ben Baar had kosim. Well, what an amazing pasuk. Mechashefa lo techayeh, ko shochev im beima mot yumak. What does one have to do with the other? Absolutely nothing. There was only one occasion where we find somebody sleeping with animals. Bilam. And he's a mechashef. He's called a mechashef. What in the world is going on? So that means going back to the original Kriya, the idea of magical thinking is exactly what was destructive up until that point that allowed for all types of Avodah Zarah and for non-structured reality. The thing that Shmuel says to Shaul When he says about the behemoths, he says, I got news for you. Chatat kesem, Mary. You might as well be a magician. What? Chatat kesem, Mary. Why not chatat chilul Shabbos, Mary? Why not? It's the craziest pasuk that we read today. Ki chatat kesem, Mary. Because the idea that you can arbitrarily and on the spot, ad hoc, decide an activity is magical thinking. It took humanity hundreds and hundreds of years to get over magical thinking. That was the scientific revolution that forced people into recognizing that phenomena in the world are related. That changed everything, because now you can't just have carry. Because I mean, to believe that things are just mikra would be undoing the entire scientific revolution. That means that everything goes back to the moment that you start talking to me about anecdotes and you start telling me your silly beliefs. I think, please, I got no time. Why do I have no time? Because you're a quack. Because anecdotes have no place in reality. Talk to me about the structure of things and tell me something intelligent. Explain the theory behind it and I'll tell you whether, you know, that may be true. Let's do some experiments and find out. It's an immense change. It's the first change in the original approach of Amalek and changed the nature of human society forever. Forever, in the most profound way possible. It made us, for the first time, the Goyim, human. It's the first connection that Goyim really had to the nature of Torah. The next stage is the challenge of Mikra. That's what Purim is all about. It all looked very nice at the beginning of the scientific revolution when there was cause and effect and anything could be defined by deterministic Newtonian thinking. Give me all the information and I will know exactly how the world is set up. However, the later 20th century gave up on all of that after the discovery of quantum mechanics. Everything became non-deterministic. Everything became pure carry again in the craziest way. Things were fundamentally interrelated in the nature of reality, but they didn't translate into the details of reality because there was no way to trace on a one-to-one basis things that were happening on the quantum level and things that were happening on the macrocosm. We're sure that there must be some overall structure that accounts for it, but once again, the problem was Mikra, in which case everything, and that, of course, is what Purim is about. The word Purim means probability. It's amazing. All of the issues of chaos, that's what pur means. It comes from the same word for probability. It's all about what are the chances. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle is announced by Mordechai. Umi yodea im la'et kazot tigat malchut. It cannot be known. Nonetheless, the results are such. You still have 2 minutes, guys. Yeah, it's not. Don't worry, I'm perfectly aware of what's going on. Trust me. Those 2 minutes are well worth it, life-changing minutes. What it is that Esther ultimately achieves is an inversion of the nature of Mikra, as the Gemara says, because Ba'atzatayim Yimach HaMikare. HaMikare means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who stands behind Mikra. And that means that the patterns that we see, strange patterns that we see, are elements that she is Emedes on, and that she turns into Yakar, which, by the way, is the reason that Esther is Yarok, the reason that she's green. The reason that she's green in the Medrash is profound. It's because the one thing that is wasted in nature is the color green. The reason that grass is green is because chlorophyll does not use the color green. It's keri. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's keri. It's the wasted energy of the world that is simply not used for photosynthesis and therefore is reflected back to your eye. Esther's being Yorok is the reason that she could, by the way, you talk about Kina, green with envy for the same reason. She utilizes Kina against them. It's entirely the sense of carry. And that means that the entire process of reproduction that is based on wastage, insane wastage, which is what Bilam was talking about. Bilam said, I don't believe that God really cares. If he cared, why would reproduction be based on waste? And because of that, the Gemara says, Bilam's punishment is to be boiled in Shechva Zera Roteach. Crazy kind of thing, but that's the point. Not recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands behind the investment in allowing you to discover yourself, as Einstein put it, allowing God to be anonymous. Statistics are the way that God makes himself anonymous. It's up to you to recognize that presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. which becomes a transfusion, the transformation of the idea of keri into yakar through recognizing the meaning of yarok. You see, so the things are profoundly interrelated. And now those of you who insist on leaving, they can leave, and everybody else gets to hear the rest if they can take it. Okay, fine. So we'll
finish at 23 plus. It takes 24.
Okay. So let me point out, you're all welcome to walk out. I'll continue talking. It was really, I understand everybody's got things to do. What's important for us to realize is that patterns are not the solution to Zechir. Because Haman is the world's biggest genius at patterns. He was the one that thought up the poor. What does he take a poor seriously for? He goes for the poor, and the Gemara says, oh, when he saw the poor came out on Adar, he said, oh, wonderful, Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar. It's a great sign. A great sign. It's a coincidence. What? Right? Amazing. And obviously, patterns are not a problem. And more importantly, memory is not a problem. All of evolution is memory. What did Darwin discover? The simplest thing. He discovered that there is a way to incorporate information instead of allowing it to be wasted. What was that mechanism? Natural selection. If anything changed b'mikre, cosmic ray changes a little bit of DNA, random mutations, sometimes genes express themselves differently. As we know, that's a lot of drifting in terms of genes. So his kiddush was, and in the same way that farmers can select, nature selects. Farmers select by memory. So they keep the animal that they like, get rid of the other ones. Nature does the same thing. That's all that he understood. That means that he took Zechira, used it for Mikra, and came out with evolution. There's no more beautiful application of the idea of Zechira than to see it as being an active component of the way history is, but without any plan. Evolution doesn't plan anything. Evolution doesn't even respond to anything. It just ends up being there because statistically, in terms of reproductive success of those genes that have a tiny advantage, the tiny advantage will be expressed statistically. So ultimately, over many reproductive cycles, there will be more of those genes in the world. That's all. That's Zechira. Obviously, that level of Zechira is not the solution to Amalek. That's one of the problems of Amalek. Right? So, I mean, it cannot be that just the assertion of things is the solution. So therefore, we have to go back to the nature of Kriya itself. The involvement of Adam in the process of creation that has to be part of the solution. And that has to do with the real meaning of Kriya. When we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Kere, and speaking to us, that means speaking to us, what we generally take, Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam. We think that that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu discovered a world in which there are these meat-brained humans that don't understand very much, who learn to grunt a little bit, and because of that, we'll talk in their language, however they grunt. That's insane. That's like saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu found a world in which there are chazirs, and now he's got a problem. How do I teach people to relate to chazir? What do you mean you made the chazir? Well, what is that supposed to mean? It's all part of one system, of one expression, of one totality. If the Torah is being said to us as chiba, that means it's part of its essence. The kriya of Adam is part of the essence of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kriya in tandem with Zeshmi Lolam, Zeshmi Shekarali Adam HaRishon is a reality. It's not a compromise. Here are these meat brains, so let's deal with that. Any more than the presence of Adam, who's capable of kriya, is a coincidence. Where is this found? In the fact that we are so profoundly interrelated with creation, and that is Bris Mila at the very beginning. We take responsibility for genetic development. It's specifically genital. That's the whole point. This is not accidental. These are things that I determine how I see the future developing. That closeness to what it is that I believe lies behind all history that brought me and humanity to where we are today. It's an incredible development. But the next piece of it is to understand that in exactly the same way that the world is this way, I'm comfortable in the world. That's not a surprise, is it? I evolved in the world. Obviously, I'm comfortable in it. I would evolve to such a way in which I'm comfortable. But Dibur Torah Kadoshim B'nei Adam, our brains, which evolved in order to escape predators and to figure out ways in which we could survive, can understand fundamental mathematics. What do they have to do with fundamental mathematics? They don't have a clue on a natural level about the nature of statistics. The brain is fundamentally anti-statistical because it can't afford to take statistics into consideration. It needs to survive. It has no connection to a particular reality other than whatever provides for survival. That means that the structure of the universe that we have has allowed us, remarkably, to be able not simply to learn Torah, but to maintain the connection to the underlying structures of relationships, which we call mathematics, or which we call Torah. That's the point. And the way that physicists knew this is that it's an incredible miracle. Why in the world should we be able to come up with these completely abstract relationships that end up describing the nature of reality? It makes no sense. The way people talk about, some of them literally talk about it, it's like miraculous, or it just comes out of nowhere. Or other, nature is remarkably kind to us. I saw one mathematician write. There's a beautiful book called Is God a Mathematician? But there's a tremendous number of recognition of this point. It makes no sense. Where would it come from? That is part of a nature of chiba that interrelates the rachis of the Olam with the end of the Olam. Where we are holding at so far is throwing out magical thinking, understanding the patterns that appear in Mikra, recognizing the simple level of Zikaron that creates those patterns, and the next step that needs to be taken is the integration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and Ratzon in the structure of existence itself that gives birth to the Big Bang and to all of the unbelievable phenomena that we experience, things just so constantly amazing, a constant zechira of Amal, like every moment of the day, is that anybody who does not take that next step and recognize it, don't you understand that the incredible fact of the chiba that's expressed in this, of the way that you're capable of being part of it, means that there's an underlying structure. It isn't happen. The happen is the structure. That's the point. You've got to take that next step. The final step of Amalek that we are currently involved in, and it's a step that is growing literally from day to day, and it's in your newspaper every day, is the question of the relationship of the translation of Torah into the structure of human relationship, which is called the social contract. The social contract. Mishpotim follows Yisro. Because if you can't translate those ideas into a sustainable society, and that's not something that Adam does, that's something that Adam is. History, society, and the integration of the totality of the expression of the individual Adams, who are all parts of the expression of what the original Adam is. The proof of that, of course, is that Adam HaRishon gave the 70 years for David HaMelech to live, which means that it's a pan-human species expression of Malchus. That is the social development of humanity. The ad hoc approach to that is tearing apart the social fiber, literally today, and it's something that's growing over the past few years, literally tearing apart the fact that we can ad hoc create new ideals, new visions, new issues nobody ever heard of before, create a political common wisdom that if you don't buy into, you are destroyed because of not believing in it, in which the pressure of Amalek is so unbelievably powerful that it threatens not simply belief systems, it threatens the ability to have a functional society. You don't even have a right to think about things in other ways. That is the ultimate magical thinking on a completely new level. That real threat to Am Yisrael, it's a real physical threat to Am Yisrael. It's what stands behind now the entire world rejecting the right to Eretz Yisrael, which takes us back to the opening Rashi of Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenik Bereishis, and Koyach Ma'asav Higid La'amo Latet La'em Nachalat Goyim, that the day will come when all of the Umas Ha'olam will get together. What are you talking about? You ever heard of the United Nations? Oh, that's all that they do in the United Nations, is figure out how to be Mekayim that Rashi. where all of the Umay Sa'elim will come together and will say, Anavi Matem, you have no right to Eretz Yisrael. That's all that the United Nations was formed for. It's the most amazing thing. So that ultimately, that milchama literally becomes the milchama for survival. You end up with the milchemes amolek in order to have that bereshis. The reason that those alternative realities are so important is because each one of those stages is a stage of human development that rejects what was assumed to be the nature of reality until that point. Amolek always stands for those paths. If the first nihilistic path is magical thinking, then the first step to destroy Amalek is not to be Chatas Kesem Meri. If the ultimate one, after Esther, if the ultimate one is this idea of the Lashon Hara, Lo Hayah Mishum Siper Lashon Hara Kahama, of going back, of being able to restructure reality with language, of believing that all things are the same as long as you can repeat them sufficiently and make them seem reasonable. That idea that it should actually be more powerful than nuclear weapon is literally far more powerful than nuclear weapon. Far more powerful. Those types of thinking and so on make power useless. The world is struggling with the fact that power is useless, that empires are useless, and that the way in which it's perceived becomes a weakness instead of a strength, so that the need to use power can be a weakness. Inappropriate and disproportionate force. You're not allowed to protect your citizen from being killed using guns. These guys don't use guns, they use balloons. Go ahead and defend yourself with balloons. And it's unbelievable things. But they become actual, real politic. And that means the Mechemes Hashem Ma'amolek is literally the description of the development of the human race and the development of Am Yisrael in recognizing that they stand at the forefront and the cutting edge of destroying that which is destroying humanity.
In order to fully understand place of the Mishkan in all of this is to recognize that something very deep has changed at this moment. And that is, the way the Chazal put it, they're derishit from the Pasuk, Acha Ve'etiv El Beitimi Ve'el Chadar Horati. So that my lover brought me back to the house of my mother and to the room in which I was conceived. So the way the Chazal understand this, Beit Imi is a reference to Har Sinai. Chadar Horati is a reference to the Mishkan. Now, calling the Mishkan Chadar Horati, which is obviously more intimate than the room of my mother, but rather the room in which I was personally conceived, calls for some understanding. How could the Mishkan be more primal than Har Sinai itself? If Lechora, the Mishkan, which is to review, if at least in terms of the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, maybe it was just a review of what was said on Har Sinai. But certainly it wasn't the Gilui HaShemina that was on the same retreat of Har Sinai. So why do we call that more intimate? And the hint over here is the very notion of the room in which I was conceived. If you take a look at the Parsha as a whole, you'll see that this idea of a Hora, which is to be conceived in the simple biological sense, relates to the korbanos, the special korbanos in the Mishkan, which are nogea the etzem mitzias of the Mishkan, and that is the hora'ah of Kohen Mashiach and the hora'ah of Sanhedrin. These define special korbanos, and the nature of those special korbanos are based on the fact that there needed to be first a hora'ah. A hora'ah means a conceptual determination of what the halacha was, which was done in mistake, and then an act that was based on that hora'ah. These are special korbanos that affect the Beis HaMikdash itself, because we find that first it's called Parochat HaKodesh, and then in the Horat Beit Din it says only Apnei HaParochat, and leaves out Parochat HaKodesh. Because, as Rashi explains, once, it's Moshe to a melech, once the main family has been Soreach, has turned sour, he no longer has his presence there, the Kedusha has disappeared. That means that this idea of Hora'ah is central to the Mishkan itself, not to mention to the fact that the presence of the Mishkas HaGozis and the literal Hora'ah, as Ramba puts the nature of the Bezdin HaGadol as Yoshev in the Mishkas HaGozis, that Hora'ah of that Bezdin is Misham Yotzei, that Hora'ah, that Terah of Yisrael. And that's where we have the din of Isaki Mamre, who gives a different Hora'ah than the Bezdin gives. It's important to understand what hora'ah is. Hora'ah is the same idea that we have it in the English. The reason that we use conception, both for biological conception and for intellectual reconceiving, so that a conceptualization is absolutely necessary in order to change the status of where you are. So if you don't reconceptualize, then all things will simply be bandages on your previous mistaken assumptions. The nature of hora'ah halakha l'maisa is that you have to go back to the beginning of the sukkah, find its mekoros in the Torah, and come out with a new way of looking at it. Just quoting the halakha from the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, is beferish not called a hora'ah. This is what the Shulchan Aruch himself says. So that hora'ah means going back to the beginning and rethinking. Then keeping that in mind, it would mean that the milchama with Amalek is a milchama in terms of the conceptualization from the beginning. What is the ratios of Bria? We have a ratios that is the ratios of Israel. We have the ratios that is the ratios going Amalek. That these represent two completely different approaches to human development is clear from the way in which ratios is bifurcated. What John means? Ratios is bifurcated. Which the Nevi'ahs, the concept of Nevi'ahs is bifurcated, and in which Sifrei Shelmilah appears here, narrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, which is what we call Parshas Bilam. It's Sifrei Shelmilah that was written by Moshe. And of course, we have Moshe's Sefer, specifically in terms of Parshas Sefer Torah, which is written, again, narrated to Moshe and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and written down the words of Moshe as narrated. Now, this is a very profound issue, which means that the war is a war from Rashi's to Avraham's. It's a question of how to integrate the total vision of what the development of the world is from the beginning of that Rashi's. It's because of that, and only because of that, that we can begin to grasp why in the world the Torah would say to completely and totally wipe out the Zecher of Amalek instead of simply making sure that they do not have any national entity and cannot threaten us. Threat is not a physical threat. The idea over here is that the war effort is a war effort to completely uproot an approach to reality which takes the beginning of the nature of reality and is incapable of relating it and the original Yichud to the outcomes, to the Toledot, and to the actual physical, biological Toledot, which must be uprooted by the same way that we uproot the conceptual. Unless, of course, we become part of this entirely different conceptualization by joining Israel. This is the Rambam Shita. Now, that means that what Amalek actually represents is Her Majesty's royal opposition. Because the idea of a world that is self-actualizing and that has found its way specifically through the very mikra that is the challenge and has been allowed to find itself because of the fact that God remains anonymous, which is the essence of Purim, which is the idea of Nes Nistar, that God does not make himself obvious and allows place for the development of self-organization and the development of humanity, is an amazing thing because that exactly is part of what it is that we need to discover on our own in order to be able to connect the essence of what Rashi's is with Hamikare at the end. The idea, of course, of Agag is that he sits on the Gag as opposed to being affected by the Mikare, the roofer who makes, in fact, all of the mikra happen beneath the subsuming nature of the totality of the roof. This is the meaning of the psicha to the Megillah of Batzal Taim Yivach HaMikareh, because that Batzal Taim is an indication of the nature of the Eitz itself. And the idea of it, which is the Eitz Kavor HaMashiv HaMav, Haman Minatar Minayin, Amina Eitz Shamati Lecha Shalola, Chokman Lachavta, that concept is the idea that the shmichut yad of the ability to control reality, to make our own events happen, to be, so to speak, as Dickens says, the heroes of our own lives by creating the opportunities of our own lives. The real heroism is the taking advantage of every moment of opportunity that is given. That's the true nature of the tzniyus of Esther. The willingness to forego the manipulation and to be totally responsive as an act of love, which is the original Kiva, as addressed here in Vayikra. in order to fully make this part of our lives, it has to be very, very much a recognition of a true war, that everything that we're doing is part of the development of humanity as a war effort, and we're always part of it. We need to recognize that even though Amalek closed themselves in concern, of course, for the all of the goodness and the rights of all people and so on, always presenting themselves as the ad hoc protector of what it is that the world requires. In reality, as the Rambam says, they are always waiting in ambush along the way. The path itself is a constant struggle against the ambush of Amalek that is ultimately motivated not only by their being oyev, but their sin'ah. And that sin'ah is so shocking to us when we suddenly see the people that we thought were really normal people and just were thinking about things in a different way than we were. All of a sudden, the irrationality, the pure unbridled hatred of what leads to their position suddenly becomes clear to us. It's then that we know that we're in a war that has to be fought to the finish, and that it's a war of life and death. That giving up on any point of it, relaxing our sense of the dangers, not understanding that they're already what they are, and to entertain all of these ideas in which, well, maybe there's a point here, maybe there's a point there, and trying to appear ourselves similar to them, and not allowing our emotional response or experiences to be part of the chiva of our position, is buying into the Amalek itself. This is the reason that Adam is so profoundly connected in the centrality of the drama of the Mishkan. The Mizbeach is the Makom from which he was literally created. It's the Mizbeach Adama, based on the Dam, based on the Adam, based on the nature of Makom Kaparato. Makom Kaparato means that the world requires Kapara, because it is meant to find its way and therefore be mistaken, and that each step in that direction is a function of Mishkan. Bisharis, Kohanim Uker, Kohanim Rizrizim, where there's no Atzal Tayim. That sense of Atzal Tayim, of being able to always miss an opportunity because I could always recreate the opportunity, is traced all the way back to the problem of the Eitz Hadas, in which Loyit Borshashu, which is addressed over here by Esther and her Tznius directly, and which was Pagum, through the need to protect himself, it was expressed in Shaul, which was only Betukan when he went out at the end. To say, here's a man who knows he's going out to lose his life, his family to lose their lives, his children walking out with him, and he walks out with his head held high, sameach b'midat hadin, that is about to be pogeva. Which means that the more we can recognize, and the more we can incorporate in our consciousness, the incredible experience that we have of the world becoming more and more integrated in our minds in such a way that every last aspect of it begins to relate in ways that are not in terms of personal survival necessary, but that become part of the essence of what it is to live in this world. The incredible joy of its poetry, of its beauty, of its underlying structure, of recognizing, as the Rambam points out, the immense chokhmah that our brains are capable of responding to. That is an act of love that leads us to love. It is, in fact, the mitzvah of Amas Hashem, as the Rambam defines it, and is ipso facto a destruction of the coldness and the denial of the reality of those responses by Amalek and by all those who follow their paths. So even those who pretend that they are so moved and so transformed by the unbelievable and amazing developments in science and our understanding, but cannot allow that to be translated into an underlying chiva that is mutual, instead of it being a creation of our own mind, is coming to destroy for us our real connection to the world, our real understanding that even the spaces, as Rashi says over here, the spaces are there for us, because we need to absorb it, not just listen and hear it. We need to be part of it, incredibly part of it. And that experience of being part of it, that's all the insane, even graphic creation of the Torah, that not only speaks to us in words that we can understand, but allows for incorporation of the needs of our absorption in how it is that our brains are made. And that becomes part of what it is that our chiva is and what our war effort is. So that those spaces, which are very much part of the things that we think are not directly nogea. I wouldn't do that. All of those spaces are themselves part and parcel of what it is to be B'nai Yisrael. Amalek is not simply there to be the choshech that the Or is able to be victorious over. The alternatives of human development require a real effort to discover one's self in the most powerful way possible. So the alternative, keeping alive the alternative self, which is a self that can also account for my being, my evolution, my understandings, without, even though it accesses a yichud at the beginning, which for all intents and purposes is the equivalent of the Motzei Rishon, which is why scientists are always talking about understanding the mind of God, and why Einstein will always talk about their Alter, so to speak, in Hebrew German, which is the ancient one, the Atik Yomin. The Atik Yomin Yoshev is the way that it's also referred to in the Neo. But that is missing the Chiba. And so, if you cannot get to the point where everything is accounted for until you reach this last issue, which is the Bechama, remember, everything in evolution is war, by definition. Evolving beyond that stage has to be the next stage of evolution. Whatever it is that you evolve beyond, in terms of Isoparacious, is a war that will involve you. But that means that the last step in your own evolution has to be connected this element of Amalek, because it's the last thing to be discovered. So if there isn't clarity, each step in that development is the clarity of dealing with the issue in a new way, correct?
Uh-huh.
So if you're missing any of those stages, you will never become fully yourself. So Amalek is the thing that brings each new step to a head. That's the beauty of what the Rambam is saying, waiting for you along the way. Because every step along the way has an alternative to how it is that it will contribute to your development. In the same way that the initial discovery of the scientific method and of giving up our magical thinking, it could be taken in two ways. Right?
Uh-huh.
It made all of those differences. That's true on every single stage, up to the very end. So if you don't have an Amalek, that is essentially the power of humanity to find itself without taking anything else into consideration. That's what it is. That it searches for truth in all things, as opposed to any wishful thinking. And this is basically what Bilam was saying. I'm not interested in structure that is imposed on reality by me. I'm interested in raw reality. Totally raw. That's the idea of sleeping with animals. The question of your sense of what's appropriate for you and inappropriate for you is basically completely personalized. To be part of the evolution of life is to taste the rawness of evolutionary drives. There's something that is pure and natural about sleeping with a horse that is not pure and natural about sleeping with a human who have all their ideas built into things and who are unwilling to really view themselves as raw products of nature, you see? And that's really what people that are zoophiles, it's the way they really feel. They feel a deeper love and attachment to sexuality with animals than they do with humans. A deeper love, a deeper sense of fulfillment. It's not some kind of weird sexual perversion. It's a you read the things that they write. Is that clearer?
Yeah.
So Amalek is a profound, amazing expression of the most developed part of human development, except for Yisrael, which is why it has to come from Esav, which is why it has to come from Eliphaz, which is why it has to come from the commitment of the Ubay Sa'ilab to join up with Klal Yisrael, which is Timnah Esav Bilekesh, which is where the Lod of Areku Mikem is discovered. That's where it becomes Mikem, by understanding the drives of Timnah, and by understanding how there needs to be an incorporation of all of those Umays, ultimately in you. All of this is amazingly real things. That means that the nature of Din, and Yitzchak as Din, and Esav as Din, and Ish Sadeh, and his connection to the wild as an Ish Sadeh, and to the original expression of Din, and the barbarism and murder that we see in the early stages of human development, are very profoundly related victim of this war. And Rome, that becomes Rome to us, but Rome ultimately becomes Western civilization, becomes the development of science, becomes all of Western culture, all the time being molded by the opposition of Israel, by needing to find itself in the context of what they call Judeo-Christian culture and so on. But they will always substitute the lies of what they are calling chiba as Christian love, which is hatred. They will always substitute something close, which is completely perverted, to that real presence within themselves of the Shekhinah, which is the ultimate Tzelem Elokim. That's the kriya. That's Adam's kriya, and that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's kriya. And that's why in the Haftar we talk about Lo Oti Karamta Yaakov. Because if there's any time that there's a vitor on the kriya, Klal Yisrael is not basic in that kriya, and they think it's somehow some kind of given, instead of a continued effort of war, then they lose.
And almost, if I understand correctly, Amalek, more than being the absolute antithesis of Israel, is more
closest you can get.
Up to the point where it fits.
Exactly. It's always like that. That's why every understanding of Purim, Haman was always there first. Discovery of the nature of Pur, the understanding of the value of Moshe Rabbeinu's death and why that has to do with his success. Every step of the way, he was ahead of Israel. It's amazing.
Which is why we're going to get to Harsir afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable how little respect Amalek gets from the Jews. Where are we going? Is that just Kedai Lada?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.